Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Well, gee, I was with those pilgrims, but somehow I must have missed the boat because they seem to have gone.
No, I know I've eaten entire cans of Cool Whip just with the spoon because it's just so good. It really boggles my mind that I'm not 400 pounds. I have no clue how because I have the worst diet.
It was like getting a lemon meringue pie and finding a piece of smoked cod in it.
It's the NFL Thanksgiving Day preview. Here we go.
Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Thanksgiving Day edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Thanksgiving because, well, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. And these are all of the games that will be featured on the Thanksgiving Day holiday. What do you know? We're also going to be eating turkey. We're going to be doing all sorts of things, including celebrating how the pilgrims left Scotland to come over to this fine set of colonies that we now know as the United States of America. Isn't that right, Neil?
Well, gee, I was with those pilgrims, but somehow I must have missed the boat because they seem to have gone.
They do seem to have left you and created this nice new colony. Actually, how is the holiday of Thanksgiving looked upon over in Europe and England? Because obviously it is a celebration that we have here in the States that's not necessary. Well, it translates, obviously, to any place across the world, but it originated with us leaving the English colonies.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have to say, everybody knows, of course, it's Thanksgiving Day in America. There's no celebration of it here at all. However, rather depressingly, Jay, I would have to say that rather than celebrating such a great cultural event in the world's history, we tend to rather favor some Black Friday, and is it Cyber Monday on the Monday? And it's, of course, hugely disappointing because it's all about the merch, but. No, that week, Thanksgiving, not so much. Not at all. And I would say that there's probably not a British person alive who, unless they've been to America, has tasted pumpkin pie. And honestly, it sounds revolting.
What? Neil?
That's Kevin coming from Prison Zone 6, who knows all too well what pie tastes like.
Yeah, we know his culinary expertise. It's Taco Bell. Do they do pumpkin pie there?
They don't have pumpkin pie at Taco Bell. Probably a good thing. But yes, my culinary expertise should not be judged just because I like Taco Bell. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I have a fine palate. But anyways, Neil, pumpkin pie is not one of my favorite pies per se, because there's a lot of good pies out there, but it's still a great pie, and you should definitely try it one day. And regarding Thanksgiving, yeah, it could be my second favorite holiday or first to Christmas. It's really up in the air. I've been trying to decide for 10 years now. And I just hope that all the crazy social justice warriors over here in America don't hate on Thanksgiving too much and give us a hard time for celebrating it. You know, they want Columbus Day gone and all that. But yes, let's get to football.
Well, Kevin, I was about to make all the social justice warriors really angry with our podcast, because when are we going to have the New England Patriots versus the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving? I mean, it doesn't quite match up, you know, because the Patriots aren't quite pilgrims. But, you know, to me, it just sounds like the perfect marketing opportunity.
I mean, it really does. I can't believe we haven't done that since they started doing Thursday night Thanksgiving game. So yeah, we'll write to Goodell. It'll probably, and he can tell Jerry Jones that he has thought of a great idea to make more money, and all will be right with the NFL thanks to me and you, Jay.
There you go.
I have two quick questions, one for each of you guys, or maybe for both of you, and not wanting to have our last listener turn off before we get to football. But first of all, Kevin, what is your favorite pie? And secondly, Jay, in terms of Thanksgiving, where does it rank in the sort of list of annual holidays? Is it right up there with Christmas, or?
Well, I'll let Kevin answer first, because I need to know what his favorite pie is.
Oh God, that's probably the hardest question I'll get all day. So I'm going to give you a tie for. I'm not going to say apple pie, because I mean, this is just too boring. But a great apple pie can rarely be beat. but I like chocolate cream pie, and I'm a pretty big fan of lemon meringue pie. Super tasty.
Oh, that one sort of came out of left field. I did not expect lemon meringue.
No.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I'm surprising myself. It's not something that I would envision myself saying, really, if I would have heard myself talk on this podcast for the last 2 years. But I'm here to surprise the people.
Yeah, a man of culture.
Nothing beats apple pie. And Thanksgiving, in terms of rankings, is definitely right up there with Christmas. It's a top family holiday for sure. See, the problem for me, though, is, you know, Halloween is such a fantastic idea. Let's tell kids not to take candy from strangers all year round, except on this one specific day. And not only are we going to tell them to go take candy from strangers, we're going to tell them to dress up like some scary monster, too. So, I mean,
to me,
the irony of Halloween puts it ahead of Thanksgiving just by a tad. But nothing beats Christmas. I mean, how can
that's
you
beat true. Christmas? Nothing beats. I mean, but Christmas as a kid was just it's just like now it's just like all right. It's like a great festive holiday. But as a kid, oh my God, it's the best day in the world. I could never sleep on Christmas Eve. I would just got it. But what simpler times?
Yeah. See, there you go. Power ranking the holidays: Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving.
You see, over here in Scotland, and I do state strongly it's Scotland. In Scotland, the biggest holiday is without a doubt New Year, followed by Christmas. But in England, it's probably Christmas.
New Year's probably 4-5.
Yeah, overrated. It's so expensive, especially in the city. Like, if you want to go to like a bar or get like an all-you-can-drink, it's going to cost you a pretty penny, and it's super crowded, and it's just an overrated holiday.
Oh, and you're right there in the prison zones of New York, so you would know about being overcrowded for sure. Like, you watch that ball drop, and you look at all those people in Times Square, and you go, "Why? Why would you put yourself through that?"
Oh yeah, trust me, I'm never going to be in Times Square for that ball drop. Got to get there at like 3 p.m. And once you're there, you can't even go to the bathroom. So I have no clue why anyone would do that to themselves.
So getting this back to football, the guy that's licking his lips the most for Taco Bell is two thumbs pointed at this guy as sitting all by his lonesome on top of the pigskin pick'em rankings. Pod Vader with 107 correct picks so far this season, followed by James, our Texan superfan, followed by Daniel Dopp, the secret squirrel, is in third place. So there you go. The top three now have broken away from the pack with Ben. I'm pretty sure this is our Brown superfan, Ben, and the power rankings in a tie for fourth. Where are you guys? Oh, Kevin, you're not that far. You're at six. 102.
And you have what? 107?
107. So you're not out of it.
Yeah, I've been having some average performances. I haven't gotten those good 11 or 12 weeks. I keep being 9 and 10.
Yeah, what is your favorite pie there, Neil? Because I'm sure it's something like really disgusting, like blackbird pie or something Deppard like that.
Well, going by my pick'em this year, it's got to be humble pie.
That said, you did get 11 last week, which was
more, 11 last week. Yeah,
that I believe that was the best week for week 11 was 11.
Hey, there you go.
There you have it. Yeah, you're way
in
down.
In terms of it,
way down on the.
Yeah, I'm away at the bottom. Yeah, in terms of pie, Jay, I think you know I'd probably go on the savory side of things and have something like a nice chicken and vegetable pie, fish pie. I quite like fish pie.
Fish pie.
Fish?
No.
Fish.
No.
This is grotesque.
You've totally ruined it.
Smoked corn pie.
Pie is supposed to be sweet and delicious, not smelly and gross.
Agreed.
Right, that's me, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to email us what your favorite pie is, nextfanup@gmail.com. You could tweet us at NFU Podcast. I don't know if we'd actually be able to read it because Mark Sicko, our former Philadelphia Eagles superfan, apparently awoke from this slumber that he's been in and just ranted to us the last few days on Twitter at NFU Podcast. They are interesting tweets, I have to say, to which I responded, I don't know if I like the angry, crazy Eagles fan more than the crazy closet Browns fan Eagles fan that we have currently.
What a choice.
See,
it's
gotta,
like fish. Is Mark Sitko the fish pie of pies?
I think he is. I think he is. Facebook.com/NFU podcast. You can check out all of our written previews at nextfanup.wordpress.com. So we've got three games here, gentlemen. Let's kick off the superfan battles with this one between the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. That is Joe and Josh. Here they go.
It's me, Josh, your Detroit Lions superfan, and with me is Joe, a Minnesota Vikings superfan. And Joe, second time we've done this year. This game even bigger than the last game. That's Thanksgiving Day football, my friend. What? How excited are you? I know I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't. I can hardly contain myself after coming off that big win against the Rams. You know, get to turn around and play 4 days later. You know, and it's a big game. I mean, everybody watches on Turkey Day, and so you know, get to put the team on spotlight Thursday morning.
Yeah, we got the game on Fox, so I believe the award for this particular broadcast, I believe, is the Galloping Gobbler on Fox. So pretty sure that's what our MVP of the game is going to be looking forward to. And speaking of that, I guess that's a good way to start off. What do you think is going to be either the X factor to the game or the key to the game as far as a player is concerned?
Ooh, player of the game. Gosh, Mike Zimmer. I'm going to go with Mike Zimmer. As far I know he's not a player, but I mean, you know, the last four times that the Vikings and the Lions have played, no team has scored more than 20 points in regulation. And so, you know, again, the Vikings have to contain the Lions offense and give the Vikings offense a chance to score some points. You know, last time we played, Dalvin Cook going down early, kind of took the air out of the sails of the Vikings team as a whole, but definitely we need to have another defensive performance like we did again.
Yeah, I definitely can identify with that. I know it's pretty typical to say, you know, in the second time of a divisional matchup that, you know, you've seen this team before, and I mean those are typically going to be more low scoring. You mentioned last time, you know, last four meetings, these teams haven't put up 20. They barely got their last game combined with the 14-7 right. win. And the only thing I think I like about the rest of the season as far as our playoff hopes is we've already beat all the division teams on the road, and now it's time to start hosting. And, you know, that's the major factor, I think, that we have going for us, is that, you know, it's just luckily it's a home game. It's a Thanksgiving Day tradition. I don't think we're going to see either quarterback really go off in this game. I mean, they both struggled to get over 200 yards through the air last game. I think it's going to be pretty much just both teams trying to win the ball or win the game on the ground and win the game up front. One thing, and then I thought I was maybe a little crazy by saying this when we recapped last time, but I just couldn't believe how good the Vikings O-line looks this year in just 1 year of with that makeover. And, you know, that was week 4, I believe. And after watching last game, you have to be really happy with the way that they are performing, as well as Latavius Murray and also even McKinnon behind them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got Rashad Hill that's filling in for a high-priced free agent and Mike Remmers, who we signed away from Carolina. And the only thing that he's done is be number two in tackles and pass efficiency per PFF. So, you know, what Sperano has done with the offensive line this year should probably get him some sort of coaching, you know, accolade in the postseason. But yeah, everything starts and stops with the Vikings offensive line. In fact, we haven't given up a sack since that Detroit game across the offensive line, which has been key to every game that we have won this season since then. So definitely agree with you there. Surprised that the Vikings O-line is playing as well as it is. And I think that it's going to be another big, big test against the defensive ends that that you guys still roll out there over in Detroit. And, you know, being that we haven't given up a sack since then, it means that the tackles have, you know, some payback in mind, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's one of those where we saw last time the Lions O-line just looked atrocious, and I believe they had 7 sacks, and you mentioned that in our Superfan battle last time around, that you thought your DNs could eat. You know, I'm just hoping we have Ziggy Ansah healthy. Anthony Zettel's been phenomenal this year, stepping up and kind of being the leader as far as the pass rush goes. Last week, we didn't get very much of a push at all. As well as in another disturbing trend is as well as giving up yards on the ground. Detroit's really been hemorrhaging some yardage, you know, when it comes to that. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see, you know, a heavy dose of the run game from the Vikings for the reasons you just mentioned. And I'm just hoping that we can slow it down. I mean, honestly, I think when I say slow it down, it's hard to slow it down much from the week 4 matchup or the 14-7 final. But again, I mean, I think history kind of repeats itself here, and just with the tradition of, you know, having these games be lower scoring, having these teams with a little bit less time to prepare than they normally would, especially the Vikings coming off of a game on the road, and that was at LA. Am I right?
No, it was in Minnesota. So okay. It's a short travel up to Detroit for them. So okay. not entirely. You know, a big change of scenery or time zone or anything like that. But I think that, you know, you're coming off of a nationally, you know, televised game against the Rams. You have, you know, the whole home crowd against you. And now you're going to go and travel on a day that's typically for families and play in Detroit, you know, in that stadium with that crowd that gets up for Thanksgiving on 4 days rest, you know. I just feel like, you know, this is one of those games where the Vikings are going to be like, "Oh, we just won a big one. We can let down a little bit in, against a divisional opponent." And especially with the trending fact that they haven't won a Thursday night game since 2001. So it's tough.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, I was about to mention that I was going to go and try to get going to go for your game prediction here. I'm going to go for what's a barn burner between our two teams. I'm calling a very narrow 17-16 win here for the Lions. And ultimately, just you just hit upon it. I do ultimately think it's a letdown spot. Huge win coming off a matchup of 2-7-2 teams. Of course, the Vikings now 8-2. Lions getting 7-4 coming out of Thanksgiving would be ultimately they're in their best interest to take care of business this weekend on Thanksgiving. And Joe, what is your prediction for final score?
Yeah, I would say that your 17-16 prediction is probably in the ballpark there. I was going to go, 21-20 with the Lions pulling that one out. Feel like, you know, both teams have pretty good offenses now. The Vikings defense, you know, again, they're a little bit banged up and probably letting down. I think that the Lions ultimately are going to play a lot of ball control offense, you know, try to keep that keep that Vikings defense on the field, keep the Lions defense off the field, you know, and just kind of grind one out on Turkey Day and go home one game back in the division.
All right, my friend. Yeah, I never got to my X factor. I'm just going to throw Golden Tate out there. The dude is a legend after the catch, and he has notoriously made the Vikings pay for not wrapping up. So I'm going to go ahead and just stick to history. Kind of surprised you went with both of our teams getting into the 20-point range. I got to say, though, man, the way Stafford and Keenum have been chucking the ball, it wouldn't surprise me if they both got to 20, 21 points. But yeah, I think it's going to be close, and I think I'm going to be on the edge of my seat no matter what. So really looking forward to some Thanksgiving Day football, and appreciate you stopping by to break down the game here and go over your preview with us, Joe.
You got it, man. Good luck and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Right back at you, man. We will see you then.
Good battle there between the two of them. Did you guys know that the Vikings have actually played in 8 Thanksgiving Day games, and that this was the second consecutive Thanksgiving meeting between the two teams?
I didn't know that, Jamie. Tell me why Detroit always play in Thanksgiving? Because they generally do, don't they?
They do. Yes, they have the most Thanksgiving Day games, 78, dating back to 1934. The Cowboys, whom we'll talk about soon, are in their 50th game since 1966.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, I mean, you had to start a tradition somewhere, and they decided to start with the Lions back in 1934.
Because it's always the Lions and the Cowboys, isn't it? Just traditionally.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, Lions have won their past 4 Thanksgiving Day games by a combined score of 135-54. So,
dang.
Yeah. It was funny because I was going to say the Lions traditionally have been a stinky team, and thus their record on Thanksgiving, not very good. 37-38-2 overall, just to give you some actual facts. I don't know. We heard the superfan battle there. Minnesota is favored in this game. I got to say, though, I think I like the Lions here better. Minnesota's favored by 3. I'm going to take the Lions as my upset special. How about you, Neil?
You obviously know I'm a great fan of Matt Stafford. But there's 2 questions with the Vikings, Jay. And you guys, you and Kevin can help me out here. Is Case Keenum going to turn into Case Keenum at some point and have an absolute, you know, howler that costs them a game or two and ends up with them getting benched? Or is that terrific defense, and it is terrific, going to help prop him up through the season?
I mean, that is the question. I mean, Keenum is having an almost MVP type season. And I say almost because that's part of Sicko's rant on Twitter. I mean, the Vikings have a better offense. They're ranked higher offensively than the Lions are, except in points. They do better in yards, but not in points. So that's really the key here. And since we are talking about points as points, that's why I'm going with the Lions. The Vikings defense, though, is better than the Lions defense. That could be the separator here.
Separator indeed. Neil, I love Stafford too. I hope that the Lions win. It'll probably be beneficial to the Cowboys, but their performance last week against the Bears was a bit concerning. Bears aren't the best team. The Lions sort of start off slow, way too much for my liking, and they're starting off slow against the Vikings defense, who suddenly have 2 of the top 15 wide receivers in the league in Diggs and Thielen. Thielen just continues to surprise me. Every game I'm like, oh, he's going to slow down, and yet again, he has like a 61-yard touchdown again last week, over 100 yards. And even Latavius Murray was running the ball a bit effectively with McKinnon. But I think this defense will be too much for the Lions. And that's it because, I mean, as much as I love Stafford and as much as they move the ball, against good defenses, they struggle to score points. They really do. And I know they're obviously at home Thanksgiving Day. They're used to the short turnaround this time of year, but the Vikings are just playing too good right now for me not to pick them.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough.
So I've gone Lions. Neil, did you go Lions?
No, I'll go Vikings. Kevin's Vikings. Convinced me there.
Kevin is going. All right. Well, remember, one of us is on the top. The other two are not. Speaking of being on the top.
It depends on which way you look at the table. If you turn it upside down, I'm miles ahead of you guys.
Speaking of on the top, there is no better shave than you can get from Harry Shaving. They are the tops when it comes to shaving your face. They give you a nice smooth shave. I've been using it for a while now. You've heard me talking about it. And now, of course, being that holiday season, you know, it can be really difficult finding the right gift for that guy. It can almost feel impossible. So what can you do? This is what you do. You go to harrys.com/nextfanup because we're going to help you out here. You already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at that super reasonable price. It's a company that guys love. Over 3 million guys have switched to Harry Shaving. It's a practical gift because, you know, every guy's got to shave unless they're growing out this giant mountain man beard like Secret Squirrel has. they got to shave. You can personalize the gift. You can choose a color that's right for him. And now there's limited edition holiday colors. Can't go wrong with a holiday colored shaver. Custom gift sets that fit his specific needs. Even a box for guys that already use Harry's. Personal engraving is an option. Of course, that would be extra. So this holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Their gift sets were built with your guy in mind, so you know he's going to love them. Sets come with that German-engineered 5-blade cartridge that provide a close, comfortable shave, the foaming shave gel that smells amazing, gives you that nice man smell, special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. I mean, that's impressive right there. And you can, of course, personalize it with engraving. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. They start at just $10. They have great stocking stuffers at Harry's. Even get something for yourself at Harry's. So as a special offer for fans, here's the deal, folks. We've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/nextfanup. And this offer is only available for the holidays. All right. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. Get that limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. Go to harrys.com/nextfanup right now. That's harrys.com/nextfanup right now. Go. And remember, Pod Vader sent you. By the way, no one took me up on me paying for their shipping from Harry's. So that offer is now off the table.
Did you not get my email?
No, you're a super fan. Remember, this was for non-super fans.
Okay. Yeah. I can tell you, Jay, Kevin, this stuff, this Harry stuff, it's so good. You'll find that it's not only just for your face you can shave.
Boy. Well, I will tell you, my wife has been using my razor, and we'll just leave it at that. We have the next game on the docket here.
Yeah, quick.
It is the LA Chargers at the Dallas Cowboys. You know, if only we had a Dallas Cowboys super. Oh, we do. What is going on with Dallas, Kevin? It's got to be more than just Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, God. Too many problems to list, honestly. First one being Tyron Smith. Out the last two games, but much to Byron Bell, we'll give Byron Bell a little credit. He performed 4 million times better than Chaz Green did against the Falcons. He was beat a few times, which was to be expected against a good Philly defensive front. But the offensive line, for the most part, played way better against the Eagles, despite the score, than they did against the Falcons. Alfred Morris had a really good game, too. He almost had 100 yards. Average over 5 yards a carry. What the real problem for the Cowboys was on Sunday night was Prescott. He was awful. He was horrible. He missed a lot of passes. He was high a lot. He just doesn't look like he's seeing the field well. He forced a horrible ball to Dez Bryant that was picked off. So really, I gave him a little bit of slack, and it sort of was like, Dak, not really your fault against the Falcons. No one can really going to put up points like that when you have Adrian Claiborne sacking you 1 second after the play snaps every play. But this game's different. Dak completely choked on Sunday night primetime. One, the worst game of the season by far for him, maybe his career. I feel like I said that now, like 3 out of the last 4 weeks, the worst game of his career. So that's not a good trend for Dak. And then on the defensive side, the Cowboys surprisingly looked more than competent in the first half on Sunday. And then they just fell apart in the second half. Anthony Hitchens left the game with an injury. That probably had a lot to do with it. We were already missing Sean Lee. So our best two linebackers leaving the game isn't really going to be fun for the defense. And it showed completely. The Eagles completely obliterated us in the second half. Couldn't stop the run. Couldn't rush the passer at all. Carson, I don't think we had 1 sack on Carson Wentz. Barely touched him. And when we did get to him, he squirmed out of the pocket somehow and found receivers downfield. So all around, horrendous defensive performance in the second half. But, I mean, watching the game, it was like no doubt in my mind that we were going to lose that game, even though we were winning 9-7 at half. And then lastly, really, we've just lost confidence as a team. There's no other way to say it. Sean, our defense loses confidence every time Sean Lee's not on the field. And now Dak with these 2 bad games in a row, I'm sure he's going to say all the right things, but he's definitely got to be low on confidence. And Dez Bryant had like 7 catches on Sunday, but for like probably like 50 yards. I just don't understand. Like, he's not a good receiver. I mean, he's good, but he's like just another guy, honestly. He's averaging, like, I think, a career low in yards per reception, yards per targets down the field, depth of target down the field. He's just not the same player he was. Could be all the injuries. Probably is. He suffered a bunch of them the last few years, but he's simply not a game changer anymore. And it pains me to say that, but he's just not. He's just not. The Cowboys have absolutely no game-changing wide receivers. Terrence Williams dropped another pass that resulted in a touchdown, second one this season. The Cowboys are just struggling all over the place. And really, I don't think that they're going to get it together for Thursday. I'd be shocked if they do. I think the Chargers are going to win, honestly. They have a really bad rushing defense. So if we can get Alfred Morris the ball like we did against Philly and continue to feed him, we may have a chance. But they have a really good secondary. I mean, I'm not just saying that because they picked off Peterman 5 times, but they're a top 10 defensive secondary, top 10 in yards allowed passing, I think, top 10 scoring defense, I think. So if we can't run the ball, it's going to be bad for the Cowboys because they have Bosa and Ingram. I think the leading sack duo of any team in the league. So yeah, it could be rough. It could be rough. I think the Cowboys will put a better performance out than they have the last 2 weeks just because it's at home. And the Chargers aren't as good as the Eagles and the Chargers. I mean the Eagles and the Falcons. But Sean Lee's not going to play again, so it wouldn't surprise me if Phillip Rivers tore us apart. But I think, and I'm praying, that our offense gets on track a little bit, despite all the negative things I just said. and then one final thing is, I was looking at the stats. The Cowboys are absolutely, absolutely dreadful in the third quarter. 6 times out of 10 games this year, they scored 0 points in the third quarter. That's horrible. Not good at all. I think they're minus 34 or so in the third quarter point differential. I think we've blown three second half leads already this year. Jason Garrett, Rod Marinelli, Scott Linehan, they keep getting out-coached after halftime. I don't know. They're not making adjustments. Other coaches are making adjustments, but it's sort of a common theme that we're seeing this season. Read any Cowboys blog, you'll see the same thing. But obviously, it's a must-win game. Cowboys probably aren't going to make the playoffs anyway, but if we have any hope to salvage anything left of the season, we have to beat the Chargers. And I'm not too optimistic, honestly.
Look at that. I didn't even have to ask any questions, Neil. Just let him go.
Hey, that's right. I'm surprised he stopped already.
Cowboys 30-18-1 on Thanksgiving. The Chargers, they have played the least amount of Thanksgiving Day games amongst all of these teams, 2-1-1. The record between the Cowboys and the Chargers, Cowboys actually lead the series 6-4. Let's see. The Chargers are the first team with 5 interceptions in the first half of a game since the 1973 Dolphins. And by the way, oh, I'll be getting into those 5 interceptions on tomorrow's show for sure. Interesting to note that the Chargers are making that 5th appearance, but it's the first time since 1969 that the Chargers have played on Thanksgiving Day. And they played in the Astrodome against the Houston Oilers. So interesting that the Chargers finally make a return to Thanksgiving. I feel like the Cowboys, no matter how good or bad their team is, usually plays pretty well on Thanksgiving. The problem I have here is DeMarcus Lawrence is listed as questionable. You already mentioned Sean Lee is out. Anthony Hitchens is questionable. Tyron Smith is questionable. Do we think Tyron's back this game?
Everything I've read so far seems positive that he's going to suit up on Thursday. He's obviously going to not be 100%, but even him at 85% or whatever is better than any other option we have. So that would be positive news if Cowboys are looking for it, that Tyron Smith's expected to play. Anthony Hitchens went down, as I said, in the third quarter against the Eagles, missed the rest of the game, but he's also expected to play, which is huge because we just need linebackers. We have like no bodies left at linebackers. We had to activate Justin Durant for the Eagles game. He's been inactive pretty much the whole year. We signed him like a week and a half before the season started. And he's just old. He was just there for depth to begin the season, and now all these injuries and all that, he's being forced to play at the crunch time in the season, which is not that good. But Jay, I the only saving grace I have for the Cowboys is Tyron Smith being back. And I've never seen a left tackle be so important to an offense before, but I know it's an important position, the most important position on the line, but the Cowboys have scored 16 points over these last 2 games, shut out in both second halves against the Eagles and the Falcons. We are in complete disarray. It's got to be something more than just not having Tyron Smith. It's definitely not Ezekiel Elliott because Rod Smith and Alfred Morris, they've honestly done fine. They're obviously not as good as Zeke would be by himself, but these last 2 games, specifically the Eagles games, they really put a bad taste in my mouth about Dak. He has got to come to play on Thursday. That's the bottom line. I mean, if he continues to play like he has been playing, the Cowboys have absolutely no shot at doing anything this year. They'll probably win 7 games. So, yeah, Dak, it's on you.
The line opened at 3.5. It's now a pick 'em, Neil, between the Chargers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to a couple of Kevin's points there, I think a Dallas Cowboys team without Sean Lee and without Tyron Smith, they're always going to struggle to lose to win. Sorry, because those two guys make such a huge difference, especially Lee on defense. He's a massive player, and if your defense is on the field for any length of time, it rarely goes well for the Cowboys. In terms of Smith, Kevin, don't you think Lyle Collins on the right side is also not having a very good season, especially in the passing, in the pass game. And when that's happening on your right side, then you're missing your all-pro left tackle on the left side. That doesn't bode well for a pocket passer.
He's definitely not taking to the right tackle position like the Cowboys would have expected. But he's sort of flying under the radar. I mean, because there's so many other disasters going on. No one's really paying attention to him. He's not doing that badly. He's probably playing below average, but he's He's the least of the concerns right now. But yeah, you're right. Doug Free was probably better than him last year. And if you ask any Cowboys fans at the start of the season, they probably would have thought that was comical to say that Doug Free would have been a better option if he hadn't retired. So Lyle Collins, yeah, been a disappointment. He's probably better suited as a guard. So Cowboys need to figure something out on that offensive line going into the draft. Because Tyron Smith, love the guy. But I said it a few weeks ago, these back problems he's having, which is actually not what kept him out of the game. It's been a groin problem. But he's been suffering back problems for the last 3 years, knocked him out of a few games. I have a really bad feeling it's going to cut his career multiple years short. And it's just sad to think about.
Yeah. Jay, going back to your point, that if you want a pick for me, I'm going to take the Chargers. I think if Smith and Lee are not playing, then I'd absolutely take the Chargers by a distance. If they are playing, I think I'll still take the Chargers. I wasn't impressed with Prescott at all against the Eagles. Now, I know the Eagles' front is hugely impressive, but things are not looking good in Dallas.
They
don't look good.
So here's the thing. The Chargers had a huge win against Buffalo, but they were handed that game at home. They lost on the road at Jacksonville in overtime. They lost at New England. They blanked the Denver Broncos, and then they eked out a victory at Oakland. Those are their last five games. Phillip Rivers is Phillip Rivers. Although when you look at his stats compared to Dak Prescott, it's really only a difference of 13 completions and 400 yards. But the touchdowns to interception, 17 touchdowns, 7 picks, 16 touchdowns, 7 picks are essentially the same. So to me, it looks like it is going to be sort of a different everything I'm saying means I should be taking the Chargers, but it's a Thanksgiving miracle. It's a Thanksgiving miracle, Kevin. I'm taking the Cowboys and believing in the power of Thanksgiving in Dallas.
We need your support. I mean, it is the Chargers after all. Why they have the most losses the last 2 years by 6 points or less. So they do tend to choke themselves. So the Cowboys do have that going for them.
The final game of the Thanksgiving holiday kicks off at 8:30. It is the New York Giants versus the Washington Redskins. If only we had a Redskin super fan. Oh, look at that. We have Neil. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Jay. I've got to say I'm going off Washington fast.
What do you foresee happen? I mean, the Giants pulling off a tremendous upset against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Washington Redskins, pushing New Orleans into overtime.
Yeah, if you had said to me before the game on Sunday, if you said, well, New Orleans will beat Washington in overtime with a field goal, I'd say, yeah, that's okay. It's pretty good. Good outing by Washington. But then you watch the game, Jay, and you think, oh, my God, it was terrible. We played, 55 minutes of good football and then 5 minutes of just dross. I said this on the preview on the recap show on Sunday. It was terrible. A heart-wrenching loss. It was like getting a lemon meringue pie and finding a piece of smoked cod in it. So I see Washington winning this game handily. I see it being an ugly game. The Giants, yeah, they beat Kansas City, but that was, A, bizarre, and B, whoa, what a terrible, terrible game. Obviously, the jinx of Nick, who was there at the game, certainly jinxed these Chiefs. I can't see the Giants just keeping up with Washington's offense. Even though we lost Chris Thompson to a broken leg, and I hope Chris gets better soon, I still think Washington will have way too much on offense for the Giants. And I think they'll stop the Giants often enough. I can't see the Giants passing a great deal on Washington. Our defensive secondary has played generally pretty well, apart from 5 minutes in New Orleans. And yeah, I think Washington convincingly win this game. We're still struggling with lots of injuries, Jay. But then, you know, most teams are now at this time of the season. So let's see Kirk Cousins being bold like he was against New Orleans early on, where he threw a number of deep balls, especially to Josh Doxson, who had a pretty good first half. And yeah, Washington win handily.
Speaking of the numerous injuries your team has faced, Terrell Pryor, no longer a question mark anymore. He is on injured reserve with an ankle. You mentioned Chris Thompson with the broken right fibula, so he's out. But the guy that would most likely take over, Samaje Perine, I can never pronounce his name, a fantasy darling, he apparently has an injured finger and is listed as questionable. Who's going to run the rock?
Well, I think Perine will run the rock. They've signed, I think, a guy Daniels today, but it's getting to that stage, Jay, where if you show up, you'll get a carry. But honestly, Washington, I mean, Perine got 100, just over 100 yards last week. But Washington, they just haven't been a huge running game. As long as they can kind of do it now and again, they're fine just to pass the ball. I think they'll do that against the Giants. They'll just keep throwing the short passes to Vernon Davis, who's having a... Hey, Vernon Davis, he's having an MVP-like season.
He is.
He did
have a pretty big drop late in the fourth quarter.
I mean,
I barely watched any of that game, but I think if he caught that, you guys... I mean, I'm not blaming the loss on him. It's obviously your defense collapsed, but you guys would have won if he it would have been a first down instead of a three and out. You wouldn't have given the ball back to the Saints, or not with nearly as much time, but horrible drop.
He did have that drop. There were a number of guys you could say in that game who just had poor individual plays, which possibly cost us the game. But I'm not going to blame anything on Vernon Davis. He is having a Pro Bowl season. What a comeback from a guy that many thought was washed up. He's been brilliant this season.
Well, as always, Jordan Reed is listed as questionable on the injury report. Ryan Grant is listed as questionable with a calf injury, limited in practice on Monday. I'm more concerned about your offensive line because you've mentioned that there was a time where we wondered who would play offensive line for the Washington Redskins not too long ago, but your starting center, Spencer Long, going on injured reserve, and your backup there, Chase Roulet, apparently injured his hand, which is kind of tough for a center. Needs it.
I think he will play. And honestly, Jay, I think when Spencer Long's healthy, he may not get his starting job back again. Really has played really quite well. I would just say Kevin and I are in a very similar boat. We both have, our teams have got the two best left tackles in the NFL. And every year it's either Smith or Williams. And last year, Williams was slightly better than Smith. Previously, Smith's been better than Williams, and they're two great left tackles, both, I think, future Hall of Fame guys, but both injured all the time. Williams is struggling with his knee, and he's been playing at about 75%, which is still more than good enough to play at Pro Bowl level for him. But it's terrible when you've got a great player, and Kevin, I'm sure you can... agree here.
You know,
having a great left tackle and seeing him injured.
Yeah, it's tough seeing him injured, but there is one big difference between Trent and Tyron. Tyron does not dabble in those recreational things that cost him games. You know?
No, it's right enough. They're very much two players who should be on opposite teams.
It's actually pretty true. And besides that, what about is Brandon Sheriff? I never know how to pronounce the last name. I know he was out for the Cowboys game a few weeks ago, but is he back? Is he back playing well?
It's on Thursday night. We should go again with the same lineup we had against New Orleans, which is possibly it depends on Sean Laval if he can play. But if he does, then we'll have the four regular starters along with Roulet, hopefully at center. So. Moses is playing fine now. Brandon Scherf is back playing well. He's a key player for us because he's a He's a terrific right guard. What an offensive line we've got between us there, Kevin, huh?
It's true. It's true. If only we could mix and match between each other and, you know, trade between weeks and stuff when we need. We need to talk to Jerry and Dan, get them more close, like me and you.
if only your rookie defensive end played offensive line, then you could have Taco and Bell in the same lineup.
Exactly. So, oh, my God. That was so a little
on the Giants' side of the ball, Damon Harrison did not participate in Monday's walkthrough. DJ Fluker is not expected to be available for Thursday's game against the Cowboys due to a toe. Orleans Darkwa was a limited participant in Monday's practice with a hamstring injury. A couple of other news that came out today, Sterling Shepard, suffering from an illness, wasn't present for the portion of Tuesday's practice open to the media. Silent killer time of year, ladies and gentlemen. And I would say all these other guys that are listed as questionable probably are going to play. But those are some of the big injuries that you got to pay attention to for the Giants. But I can't imagine anyone here is going to take the Giants despite the fluky win over the Chiefs last week. Are we?
No, not at all.
No, don't think so. The one player I would say gives the Giants some hope is Evan Engram, who's having an outstanding rookie season. Mm. He's already got, 41 receptions, 11 yards a reception.
He definitely is having a good season, but is he having a good season? I mean, I'm sure he is talented. I liked him coming into the draft, but he's literally the only weapon they have. I mean, yep. If Odell and all those people were healthy, he wouldn't be being nearly as productive. But obviously, that's...
Did you have Sterling Shepard on the injury report there, Jay?
Yes, I mentioned illness, silent killer.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so, Neil and Jay, who do you, both these receivers, Brandon Marshall and Terrell Pryor, both of them epic duds. I don't even think we could qualify who was a worse signing, but should we try?
Well, I don't want to stick up for Terrell Pryor because he has been hugely disappointing, but I would point out that he has been struggling with that ankle since week two, and that's what's finally put him in injured reserve. It may have helped his case in terms of his popularity among Washington fans if that had been made more public, if the injury had been so bad. But, yeah, I mean, you can't deny it, Kevin.
I mean, there's no chance he's on the team next year, right?
No, I don't think so. I think Washington are very happy with Harris and Grant, who have come in from the practice squad. So, no, I would say no. Not with that money.
Some useless stats for you. I just want to throw these out there. The Washington-New York matchup is the 171st time this has happened, including the postseason. The Giants hold a 99-67-4 advantage over the Washington Redskins. Giants are playing on Thanksgiving for the first time since 2009. It's their 15th time overall. They made their first appearance on Thanksgiving Day in 1926 when they defeated the Brooklyn Lions 17-0 at Ebbets Field.
Well, I wasn't there for the game, Kevin, in case you're wondering.
No, I wasn't.
Anything else we need to highlight from this game? Because I do think that, there's going to be plenty of us snoozing away on the tryptophan. I mean, unless you're related to one of these players, you're not watching this game.
Thank you. That's good news, Jay.
Or unless just, can one you guys of just your tell relatives me, which, at your house is a Giants fan.
Can you tell me which one will Romo be doing? Will he be doing a game this weekend?
He'll be doing the Cowboys-Chargers game.
Yep.
I'm really? Almost 100%. Yeah.
Yes. The CBS game is Chargers at Cowboys.
Oh, no. Does that mean I'm going to be suffering that Joe Buck guy on Troy Aikman on my Washington game?
No, you are not. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to Detroit. Vikings at
the
Lions.
You probably get Collinsworth and Michaels.
So you have Collinsworth and Michaels.
That's nice. Yeah. Excellent.
Unless, of course, Michaels takes Thursday off, which he normally does, then you have, what's his name there? Mike.
Mike Tirico?
Mike, yeah.
Mike Tirico.
Oh, I like Mike. Mike Tirico.
Tirico's good.
I was briefly interrupted by my wife in the background who said, "My God, is this a Thursday show?" No, it's not. It's a Wednesday show. It's a special Thanksgiving edition of the Wednesday show.
That was excitement in our voice, I think.
Oh, yes. So much excitement, too. All right. So there you go. There's the broadcasting teams for each of the games. Hopefully you enjoy the Thursday games. We will be back with a Thursday show. These two jamokes will not be joining us for the Thursday show. Neil has one more thing.
Yeah, I think Kevin and I just want to give a shout out to Monty and to his favorite tight end, Lee Smith. And I would ask you this, Monty. Lee Smith, he's having a terrible season because he's got a quarterback there who, well, he hasn't shown up since he got paid. What's going on?
Oh, Neil. Really, really sparking the fuel there.
And Monty, like Kevin told me to say this earlier.
Not true, Monty. Not true. Neil went rogue right there. He wasn't even supposed to say anything.
Rumor has it Monty will be joining me along with Chiefs Nick for our Thursday episode. So tune in to see if Monty responds to the barbs being thrown here by Neil.
Well, his Oakland Raiders have been just a disgrace this year, haven't they? What happened to them?
They got destroyed by the second best team in the league. That's right. And the clear-cut MVP.
I tell you, Jay, is there any way on earth that the New England Patriots are not going to walk into that Super Bowl this year? Who in the AFC is going to stop them? Who? There's nothing in the AFC.
There is one way, and that would be if the Pittsburgh Steelers finally figure out, well, the silent killer would certainly take out the New England Patriots. But if the Pittsburgh Steelers finally figured out a way to not play the exact same way against the New England Patriots like they do every single time, then they perhaps could pull off a victory.
No, the Pittsburgh Steelers are just like little puppies that New England carry in their handbag.
Right? That's true.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Right.
All right. So while you're off enjoying your fish pie and Kevin will be enjoying some lemon meringue, and I, of course, being a good American, will have apple pie with vanilla ice cream.
Although, lemon meringue. Don't forget the extra big scoop of Cool Whip on top of the lemon meringue.
Oh, you can't have pie without the
Cool Whip. What do you have with pumpkin pie? Do you have like custard with it or something, or cream or what?
Oh no, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's Cool Whip? Sounds like a hairstyle.
It's whipped cream.
Oh, whipped cream. Okay. Can you just say whipped cream?
No, because Cool Whip is so much better. And by the way, Cool Whip, if you're listening, we are available to pump your product, just like Hostess and Captain Morgan and any of the other fine folks that have reached out to us on this podcast.
You know what Cool Whip is good in? It was a recipe I experimented for several years, starting approximately in my apartment room 2:30 a.m. on like 2014. But here's the ingredients. You should definitely try it. 2 pieces of wheat bread. I don't like white bread for some reason, not even because it's more unhealthy than wheat. I just think wheat tastes better. Peanut butter, bananas, cut up bananas, white chocolate chips, and mountains of Cool Whip. And it's just a great munching food.
Perfect. How do you keep the Cool Whip in the sandwich?
Oh, it spills out. And trust me, I know I've eaten entire cans of Cool Whip just with a spoon. Because it's just so good.
Oh, do you go cans or tubs?
Tubs, yeah. I meant a tub. And as I said, it really boggles my mind that I'm not 400 pounds. I have no clue how, because I have the worst diet in all of the United States. I would not be shocked if that was true. I have a great metabolism. Thank you, Dad.
I'm just surprised to hear a recipe from an American that didn't include liquid cheese.
No, that would be disgusting.
Oh.
That would have just made that entire concoction really disgusting, Neil. All right. So we managed to talk like 10 minutes before the show even started about these horrible pies that you eat in Scotland. Now we're spending 10 minutes talking about these horrible experiments that Kevin's had in his college dorm room days. I think it's time to bring in Mr. Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.
When Landry's hanging out, I'm sure he would love that sandwich. It is honestly to die for.
No, it actually does sound quite good.
I forgot our most popular pie here in Scotland, which is macaroni cheese pie.
Well, that macaroni sounds good.
Have you ever had that?
That's got to have liquid cheese in it, though, Neil.
Well, it's just got cheese sauce, I suppose, in it. But wow, nice. Bit of grated cheese on top to make it all crispy. Lovely.